Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Lutheran Witness October issue. Lots of great topics in it this month, particularly addressing two things that come up in October.
Yes.
Mental health awareness and
pastor appreciation,
both in, and not by coincidence that those happen in October. Lots of other awareness, because October is awareness month.
It is.
And, but those two particular topics are addressed in the Lutheran Witness issue this month. And joining us by phone today, the Reverend Todd Peppercorn. He's pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of Luther's Dark Days in this October issue of Lutheran Witness. Pastor Peppercorn, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Great honor to be here.
Luther's Dark Days. You address the topic of, well, the question, did Luther experience depression? What were the things that he experienced? We see this in some of his writing and other accounts that he experienced something that we might consider depression. We'll get to that in a little bit, but let's talk about depression. You've spoken openly and written openly about experiencing clinical depression and been our guest on programs here at KFUO to talk about that. How is depression isolating? Is it isolating? And if so, how is it isolating?
Well, I guess I would start, Andy, with just thinking first off that God creates us to be in community. It is not good that man should be alone. He creates us to be in fellowship with him and with one another. And so that's kind of our starting point. That's a part of what it means to be human, is to be in community, in family. And a part of what clinical depression does is it messes with our interaction with the outside world. I'm not a doctor. When I use language, it's kind of from the perspective of someone who experiences it, not from a medical clinical perspective. But the way that I try to explain it to people is our brain receives stimulus and we respond, react to that stimulus in certain ways. And a part of what clinical depression does is it interrupts and messes up our ability to process outside information, and that can be people, that can be light, you know, that can be all kinds of different things. Maybe a good way to explain it is if for any of our listeners who have children, when our children were small, one of our best friends was the vacuum cleaner, because if they wouldn't go to sleep, you start the vacuum, and eventually they get to the, too much stimulation, zonk, and they go to sleep. Well, that's kind of what happens in clinical depression, is that all of this outside stimulation comes in, and it overwhelms the brain. And so what that means is that the clinically depressed isolate themselves as a defense mechanism. But as a result, they also isolate themselves from the very people and things that they may need in order to get help. It's really kind of a vicious, cycle, honestly. And it's something that Satan can really make use of, because that can also mean isolating ourselves from hearing the word of God, from going to church, from receiving the sacrament, from all of these things that are going to strengthen the faith and might point us in a healthier direction, but the illness makes it really, really hard to actually do those things.
Let's talk a little bit more about how it affects someone spiritually. You mentioned that depression, it causes you to turn in on yourself and to be maybe inside your head and to feel all of that so real. How does it affect someone spiritually? You mentioned not being able or willing to go and be around people, but what are the other effects of that isolation?
Well, that isolation means, theologians always like to like to have fancy words in order to describe things. One of the theological terms that we use sometimes for sin is incurvatus se, to be turned in upon oneself. I think it's interesting that kind of describes a lot of mental illnesses, is because your outside stimulation is cut off. Your ability to interact, your capacity to interact with the outside world is cut off. And so you're sort of left with just yourself. Whether you want it that way or not, whether you like it that way or not. And if you're left just with yourself, a part of what that means is that the Word of God is not going to have its sway. Our interaction with other people isn't going to kind of pull us outside of ourselves and other people's needs. And so the clinically depressed also, to the outsider, are going to appear very selfish often, and are going to, and so may be very difficult to be around, because all they've got is themselves. And it doesn't take much for our brains to sort of forget, oh, there are other people in the world, and other people have needs and thoughts and feelings and all of these things. And because all of those are overwhelming for the clinically depressed, it can actually be just too exhausting to even recognize that. So you sort of end up in this place where you're stewing in your own thoughts and feelings, and it's very difficult for anyone else or anything else to kind of get inside that little bubble. Your world becomes small, much smaller than God intended it to be. And that's really the danger. It's very physiological, but it has deep spiritual connotations. Is the gospel comes from outside of us, and if I'm getting cut off from the outside, I'm cutting myself off from the very ways that God uses to forgive my sins, to draw me into communion with Him and with each other, and all of these things just are in tension with one another. And that's where the church really has to step in and say, okay, how can I minister to this person who is suffering in this way and help them and not leave them alone, but also recognize they're not going to just kind of buck up and say, okay, well, I'm just going to go into church with 300 other people because I know this is what I need. They don't have the capacity for it. Does that make sense, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and no. That's...
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced that, just not with clinical depression, but I've been there.
we're not fans of synergism to begin with as Lutherans. So let's talk a little bit about Luther's own experience, Martin Luther's experience with his struggle with these dark days, or maybe it was depression. We're not really sure, are we?
We're not sure. And there are lots of different points in Luther's life where, you know, looking at it 500 or so years later, we would look at this and say, well, he has this 6-month period of this year long period in the 1520s, for instance, when it seems like he can barely get out of bed. And a part of that's physical illness, a part of that is spiritual malaise. And we could look at that and say, God, it sounds like clinical depression. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. What's helpful for us with Luther is that Luther was such a pastoral theologian and had such a brilliant grasp, I think, of human nature, that he could recognize, even if he didn't have the kind of the modern language that we would use about clinical depression, he could recognize that this is not something that I'm going to fix myself. This is not something that I can just get out of. I mean, I think of Luther's language in the small catechism. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, to come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, etc. You hear that sort of language, and that's actually incredibly comforting to someone struggling with mental illness and depression, because that's a recognition that, no, this just isn't something that I could do. Faith is not a matter of my making the right decisions or kind of bucking up and turning faith into a Weight Watchers program, basically, which we often try to do. We often try to make faith into some kind of habit that I've formed, and that occasionally I fall off the wagon with my faith habit, and then I get back on. Well, if that's our model or our analogy for faith, then we're going to miss it. We're going to forget the great gift that this is a gift that comes by the Holy Spirit, by the Word, and not by my own reason or strength, not by my own actions, not by my willpower. So even if Luther wasn't talking specifically about clinical depression, we can get a great deal of comfort in his understanding that God is the one that does the work, that God, through his Holy Spirit, uses these means to comfort, to console, and what's more, that God also uses very, I'll call them first article means of doctors and nurses and psychiatrists and therapists and counselors and family members and all of these other people to bring about healing. And that it's not just that I feel bad and once I feel better, then God's going to take me back. That's not how God works. God reaches to us, not the other way around.
So then we have just about a minute left. Then how can we look at affliction then, and in light of the gospel, whether it be clinical depression or something else?
The way that I try to think about it is affliction, in general, affliction is the result of sin, is the result of our fall into sin. And affliction, while we may be tempted to look into ourselves, affliction can point us to the helplessness that we have, that we experience because of the law, and that can open the door for us to receive help from the outside. Now, the help of the gospel is the spiritual healing that we all need. But for the depressed, that can also mean recognizing that God works through these very earthly, physical means, these people, to bring about healing, and that there is a community, that there is a family, that there are people that love and care for us. That's where I'd start.
The Reverend Todd Peppercorn, pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Rockland, California, author of Luther's Dark Days in the October issue of the Lutheran Witness. Thanks so much, Pastor Peppercorn, for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
My pleasure.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
You're a miracle. You know that, right? A living, breathing, one-of-a-kind miracle. You were created to stand apart, to share your gifts in the service of others, to make an uncommon impact in a common world. And at Concordia University, it's our mission to help you do that, to live uncommon. To learn more about Concordia, go to cuw.edu.